Keep your Bible open to that text. Want to call attention to it in a few moments. I would thank you again for the privilege of having a sabbatical writing leave. We will be beginning that on Tuesday of this coming week, though the first approximate week will be devoted to a 40th anniversary cruise to Alaska. That's a great way to start a sabbatical for writing. I'm hoping that the Lord will give us refreshment and rest and spiritual challenge. I increasingly am excited about the call of God upon me to write again. Just this morning, early, I was in prayer, and the Lord brought an insight to me that I had to stop praying and write down, because I sensed it was very significant in putting together what the Lord has laid upon my heart to write on the theme that survival demands revival. So I thank you for your prayers, as you have been reminded this morning to pray for me. It's my desire to be able to put together something that will be of significance to the body of Christ to use. I believe very firmly in my own soul that the darkness is mounting very rapidly, and more God's people are going to be awakening to the fact that the only hope of survival for our land is a revival movement of God's grace. And they'll desire to enter into it. And I believe that's the reason the Lord has been so burdening me to write. I also want to thank you for receiving the series on the warfare of the believer again so well. It's been about 6 years ago that I brought almost the same series. And many of you have expressed gratitude for this re-emphasis. Some of you, of course, have come to the church since then and have not heard me bring a series on the armor of God. And yet you have been patient, those of you who have heard it before, especially the illustrations. And we thank God for your taking it much to heart. By the way, the series is being prepared by Eric Larson in a tape series. And if you would like to have that series, you should let the office know. As soon as it's ready, they'll be happy to send it to you. Also, most of what I'm saying is already in print in my second book, Overcoming the Adversary. And if you're interested in pursuing it a little more in depth, it would be good for you to perhaps read that book again. Well, we come to the last part of the armor today. There's one more message which I'm going to bring in the series. I plan to do that 2 weeks from today, when I'll be back preaching on the Sunday that we celebrate Grandma Winterland's 100th birthday. And that will be upon the allness of prayer. But today we come to the sword of the Spirit. And verse 17 instructs us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm sure that you've been impressed as we've looked at each part of the armor up till this moment, that each part is primarily up to this point to be used for your protection, for your defense. Even though we have been talking about how we can be strong through our union with Christ, strong in the Lord, how we can be strong through the power of the Holy Spirit, And then we've been dwelling upon the importance of the armor, your spiritual clothing. And it's interesting that the first parts all have to do, in a very unique way, with the believer's protection. And it is important that we understand something of the fierceness of the battle, that it does demand protection, not just passively assuming it, but your involvement in it. You're equipping yourself daily, clothing yourself with your armor, the loin girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Walk in your shoes of peace. And claiming the shield of faith that quenches, puts out all of the fiery darts of the devil. And then covering your head with the helmet of salvation so that your mind can be protected. But now we come to an interesting transition. It's as though that the apostle is saying, now it's time to swing the sword. You're equipped. And how we need to understand as Christians that our stance is not primarily a defensive one, a protective one. Now that's important. And I hope that that's coming across, that you cannot be careless in this battle, that the devil himself presses against us, or you'll soon be victimized. You'll soon be in bondage. The enemy will be running your life and destroying your life and making a sham of you. Understanding that is not defensive. It's not is one who understands why we're saved, world. It's to be light in the midst of darkness, defilement. To be a people who understand to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make people who understand, as we read from the scripture this morning, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. I used to see that, to think that it meant that the Lord builds his hedge around his people, to Satan, and the gates of hell will never touch you. It's the opposite. It's the picture of people standing armor on who walk up to the gates of Satan with their sword and walk right of his people. Who are barely making it. Who are under siege. Picture is just the opposite. It's the picture of a people who have everything spirit in the wholeness of the armor to be mighty through God to the pulling down of strong the knowledge of God. That's who we are. To an offensive weapon. The sword. Now it's very important to understand and the position of the sword of the Spirit. The very important matters about this last part of the armor, which is the offensive weapon. In position is very important. And I suppose that says above everything else that we are not effectively until we understand the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that understanding of all that we've been talking about, because we're commanded, but woe to the person who thinks that he can learning about his armor. He better be learning about his. You must never forget who your enemy is. We can't see it. It's in the spirit realm. But if we clenched us and seek to rule over the culture and the society, there's no one higher than the devil in created authority and position and power. He's called the archangel of God. Satan heads fallen angels, according to Rabbit. And if we fall into that trap, we're going to about the battle. I don't make any jokes about the devil anymore. Beings do is to make light of Moses. And we don't fully understand what all that means, except that bones into the very presence of God. And I gather that dispute went on between Michael and Satan over where the power did not dare to bring an accusing accusation as to why each part of the armor is made. Powers that are subject to the use of your authority. But we share with you right now the boldness that we have is mentioned last. Let me just illustrate what I'm saying from Scripture. Try to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demonized. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know," that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Experience with confronting darkness. But when they, in the fullness of his spirit, they'd have been far better off. The sword of the Spirit, its potential of power is important to know as God himself. Now, I say that with reverence. The word of God, about which we sang in one of our hymns this morning, we ought to take this Bible and put it on a shelf and bow before it. Rightly used and rightly applied has the power of God's word, almighty word. Satan has to bow before God's word, always defeated by it. It's powerful. Death would pass away, but not one jot or tittle of God's word would ever change. Who grasp hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's omniscient. It's powerful. I like the way Paul said, and what it can do in Satan and all of his kingdom. Cannot we need to understand the power of the word of God to cut. And I love the application of that. First of all, it does surgery on you. And the soul and the spirit, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. To reach out and to confront and to defeat the enemy. Somebody who's caught in all kinds of wrong thoughts and closed doors. It's pressure in persistence of usage against the enemy. Well, first of all, it means you must know the word. To be memorizing the scripture than today. And please don't tell me you. Every one of us has power to memorize. Have it there to be used. But that's only part of it. We must also. I was sharing in the early service about a few occasions when I went to visit his mother, who was a very elderly person, and some of them leave, or maybe not even then. His mother was began to talk to me. And he told me a story that was all bottled up in total defeat. Build a discipleship relationship of accountability where not only was he and how many times his understanding was very understood, penetrating his life, began to transform him because he rightly understood the sword upon it. The last point I would, power is important. It's the sword, it's the word of God. We're to take it, but it's of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. How important it is to know that and walk in its truth. Maybe I can illustrate what it means by using Peter You remember that Peter was one of the most vocal and aggressive of the disciples of Jesus. And on the day when the soldiers and the other representatives from the temple came to capture Jesus, Peter had concealed a sword, probably in his clothing, recognizing that things were getting pretty hot. And he was going to defend his Lord. He had promised his Lord he wouldn't forsake him. And he was ready to lay down his life to keep that word. And so what did he do? When they began to close in upon Christ after Judas betrayed him and kissed him, Peter drew his sword and he swung it and cut off Malchus' ear. And Jesus was right there, and of course, he kind of rebuked Peter and told him to put it up. And at the same time, the ear was put back on and healed completely. Now, Peter not only put himself in great peril by swinging the wrong sword, but he endangered all of the apostles and probably had something to do with why they ran so quick. They were in real danger. They had just come after the Lord Jesus, but when they saw that aggressive, hostile action, the soldiers started to look around at all of them. But a tremendous transformation took place some 50 days later when this same man took another sword. The sword, not of the world and all of its power, but the sword of God Himself, the sword of the Spirit. And it pierced 3,000 hearts so powerfully under the anointing of the Spirit that those 3,000 sin-darkened, Satan-bound people said to Peter and the other apostles, "What do we do? What do we do?" And they were saved. And the disciples were strengthened. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it's a powerful, powerful sword. And when God's people use it in harmony with the Spirit of God, tremendous accomplishments begin to happen because the Spirit of God is the sword, and He pierces and He cuts away the unbelief and the darkness, and all of a sudden they see themselves as sinners under condemnation of their guilt on their way to hell. And they begin to see that there's righteousness that's desirable, and they want it. And they receive Christ. And so God's people need to move in harmony with the Holy Spirit, the way He works. And He works in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, in gentleness, and goodness, and meekness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Ask the Holy Spirit to make the Word of God very effective in your life and church. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how wonderful to know there's a sword. This kingdom of darkness, we're so grateful that this sword is capable of rescuing multitudes, even in our day. Give us a vision for that. In Jesus' name.